John Ashbery joins us from our studios in New York City. Mr. Ashbery won the Pulitzer Prize and National Book Award for his 1975 collection of poems, Self-Portrait in a Convex Mirror. He's considered by many the leading poet of his generation in the United States. Mr. Ashbery has a new collection of poems out. It's called Where Shall I Wander? At the age of 78, John Ashbery continues to write poetry that ranges from classical forms to pop culture references, in which surprises can lurk at the end of a line. Mr. Ashbery, thanks very much for speaking with us.
I'm very glad to be here.
May I ask, Mr. Ashbery, none of my business, but let's say if you were to fill out, I don't know, an application for an apartment in New York or a credit card, and it comes to vocation, do you put poet?
No, that's very embarrassing to say that you're a poet. In fact, I can't think of any other artistic trade that has the same amount of embarrassment attached to its title. I always think of a scene in Jean Cocteau's movie Orphée, where Orpheus is being cross-examined by three judges, and one asks him what he does, and he says he's a poet, and the judge says, "What does that mean?" And he says, Orpheus says, "It means to write and not be a writer."
My, how inspiring.
Alas.
That is. Yeah. I want to give you a good stretch of time to read really a wonderful poem in this book that actually has some more of a storytelling, almost a narrative quality, and that's Interesting People of Newfoundland.
The title is the title of an actual book. I happened to find a trove of books about Newfoundland in a used bookstore and became a sort of authority for a couple of weeks. And, okay, well, I'll just read the poem.
But you've never been there?
No.
I know Shakespeare never went to Venice.
To Verona, I was going to say Verona, and yeah. Keats never went to the Pacific coast. And, yeah, poets are still writing about places they've never been to, and in my case, really don't intend to go. Newfoundland is or was full of interesting people, like Larry, who would make a fool of himself on street corners for a nickel. There was the Russian who called himself the Grand Duke, and who was said to be a real duke from somewhere, and the woman who frequently accompanied him on his rounds. Doc Hanks, the Sawbones, was a real good surgeon when he wasn't completely drunk, which was most of the time. When only half drunk, he could perform decent cranial surgery. There was the blind man who never said anything, but produced spectral sounds on a musical saw. There was Walsh's with its fancy grocery department. What a treat when mother or father would take us down there, skidding over slippery snow and ice, to be rewarded with a rare fig from somewhere. They had teas from every country you could imagine, and hard little cakes from Scotland, rare sherries and Madeiras to reward the aunts and uncles who came dancing. On summer evenings in the eternal light, it was a joy just to be there and think. We took long rides into the countryside, but were always stopped by some bog or other. Then it was time to return home, which was okay with everybody, each of them having discovered he or she could use a little shut-eye. In short, there was a higher per capita percentage of interesting people there than almost anywhere on Earth, but the population was small, which meant not too many interesting people. But for all that, we loved each other and had interesting times, picking each other's brain and drying nets on the wooden docks. Always some more of us would come along. It is in the place in the world in complete beauty, as none can gainsay, I declare, and strong frontiers to collide with. Worship of the chthonic powers may well happen there, but is seldom in evidence. We loved that too, as we were a part of all that happened there, the evil and the good, and all the shades in between. Happy to pipe up at roll call or compete in the spelling bees. It was too much of a good thing, but at least it's over now. They are making a pageant out of it, one of them told me. It's coming to a theater near you.
You've written more than 20 books of poetry now. And I wonder if you recognize different stages of yourself, or do you go back and look at your earlier poems at all?
I don't very much, except when I'm reading them publicly. In fact, that's the only time I read my poetry, since I've already I already know what I was setting out to learn when I wrote the poem, and am always interested in what the next one is going to be. I can see certain features that have remained the same mm-hmm. all these years, but it's very difficult for me to talk about them very precisely. My work went through a period of being extremely, well, let's say analytical in the sense of analytical cubism, taking apart language, not being satisfied with the way it looked or sounded or meant, then fitting it back together so that it would be, as we used to say, the same, only different.
Could I ask you to read your poem, page 27? Your poem, You Spoke as a Child.
You spoke as a child. We sat together in the long hall. There was something I'd wanted to ask you, a new mood I was after, something neither posed nor casual. Outside, under a slappy sky, the leaves were right on. They're our own skeletons, and slack was the tautology report. They don't have bare beds. The children here are as hunted rabbits and don't think too much about what comes after. A suffocated prince summons the septuor. Celestas wax dim and bright in the distance, which was meant to be distance. You spoke out of the margin.
I read that and wondered, is that part of what a poet does sometimes, to speak as a child, from that elemental sense of wonder?
I think we do, yes, and also out of the margin as well.
Out of the margin in the sense that out of the expected meaning of something.
Yes, and out of the margin of society, poetry being a kind of marginal occupation.
Do you think of your poems as being accessible to people?
Well, I'm told that they're not. I wish that they were as accessible to as many people as possible. They are not, I wouldn't say private. Mm-hmm. What they are is about the privacy of all of us and the difficulty of our own thinking and coming to conclusions. And in that way, they are, I think, accessible if anybody cares to access them.
Speaking from New York, John Ashbery, his new collection of poems is called Where Shall I Wander? Mr. Ashbery, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott. I enjoy it very much myself.